Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I invite you to turn with me to Mark's Gospel, chapter 2. And if you remember that Mark is primarily the scribe for Peter, who is the eyewitness account of all of these things, and is sharing these with Mark. And this deals particularly with the town in which Peter lived. Let us hear God's word for our hearts this morning. Chapter 2, reading verses 1 through 12. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus. By digging through it and lowering the mat, the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We've never seen anything like this." And may God bless this reading and this hearing of his word. And let's look to him for a moment of prayer. Father, your word is truth, and it speaks to us where we are in our lives in this world, our friendship with you, our friendship with others. We pray that you would forgive the sins of the one who teaches, for their many, and that you'd point us to Jesus Christ and to him only. For we make our prayer in his name. Amen. While Jackie and I were driving through or riding in the car with our driver through the Highlands of Scotland, Jackie was looking at her Facebook messages for the day, and all of a sudden she said, "Wow, this is an amazing story." And she began to share it with me, and it's a story that I want to share with you this morning, because when I got home, I Googled it, and came across the story that we saw on Facebook. In the summer of 2015, there were a group of friends that decided to go on an adventure together. They wanted to go to Europe, but it was a little trickier than just getting on a plane, going. One of them was in a wheelchair. His name is Kevin Chandler. He was born with spinal muscular atrophy, which is a neuromuscular disease, and it limits the mobility. He only weighs about 70 pounds, and he's lived his life basically in a wheelchair. These seven friends worked a year toward this goal to travel to Europe. They had a fundraiser, and they designed a very special backpack on which they would carry their friend through Europe, and it grew to something beyond what they ever dreamt. And as they boarded the plane to go from Atlanta, they left the wheelchair there, and they spent 3 weeks exploring the countryside of Europe, completely unhindered by the question of accessibility. Let me tell you, there were four guys that carried Kevin. Now, he weighed about 70 pounds. The backpack weighed about 5 pounds, 75 pounds on their back. Every 45 minutes for those 3 weeks, they would take turns carrying Kevin around Europe, through Paris, through some of the highlands in Ireland, some very treacherous places to climb. And it was a wonderful trip. Think about that. Four people carrying him around Europe. They're planning on going to China in August of this year. They're taking a film crew to document this. A book's being written about it. A ministry has come out of this, and they're hoping to visit orphanages in China and share the possibilities that are there as people are helping. The story that I read in the Bible this morning is one of those great stories about friendship. One of the greatest stories, I think. And it reminded me so much, as Jackie was describing this on Facebook, I said, that's Mark chapter 2. Now imagine the man that's in our text this morning. Here he is. His whole life as a paralytic had been lived on a mat that is 3 feet by 6 feet in length. His whole life. Someone has to feed him. Someone has to clothe him. Someone has to keep him covered and move him around so that he doesn't develop bed sores. Someone has to clean him when he soils himself. He never knows the kind of independence that you and I know. Nothing can be done for this man medically in the world that they lived in. No surgeries, no rehab programs, no treatment centers. There's no way that he can contribute to society. Anyone who goes through this condition has to be a beggar. He has to lie there beside the road and depend on coins that are put in a little bucket or box for his subsistence. Can't you imagine if you were that man that you would dream dreams of walking, running, maybe even getting married, having children, but all he can do is see life from the view that he has on this mat. What he does have going for him is the same thing that Kevin had going for him. He had friends, amazing friends. I picture this little group of people who form a group that goes against formidable obstacles. First of all, there's social stigma of being attached to this man, as it is with Kevin. There's inconvenience, financial pressure, high cost of time and energy. And without these friends, he would never make it to see Jesus. Never get healed, never get forgiven. And this friendship didn't happen accidentally. Because of his physical condition, the deck was stacked against friendship, emerging it all. And here he is. And one day, his friends hear that this rabbi is coming back to Capernaum. Now, Capernaum is the hometown of Peter, and this is presumably Peter's home. You remember Peter's mother-in-law is healed by Jesus in Capernaum. We don't know exactly whose home it is. But they hear that Jesus is coming, and they're anxious to get their friends to see Jesus with the possibility of him being healed by this young rabbi. Now, in Israel, this man would have suffered another stigma. You remember Job and his friends? When Job got sick and lost all of his property, lost his children, his friends got together, and after a while they reasoned, Job, you must have done something wrong. There's some secret sin in your life. Even the disciples of Jesus, when they came to the man born blind, asked, Lord, who sinned, this man or did his parents sin? But these men choose to take their friend to Jesus. Now, try and create the scene in your mind. If you were choreographing this, there's a tremendous crowd. Jesus is in the house, but it's crowded all the way around. But there's a stairway on the outside. His friends decide to take him up onto the roof and lower him down through a hole that they'll dig in the ceiling. Imagine what Jesus sees. All of a sudden, and the crowd sees in fields, there's some dust, then some dirt, then some matting as the ceiling begins to give way, and Jesus sees these four sets of hands there. And they lower the mat. And imagine Jesus stopping, being interrupted from his teaching, standing there, looking at this man who's on the mat. And he says to the man, "Your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven." That's not what they were expecting to hear from Jesus. And there was another group of people there as well. These folks were teachers of the law, and they were sitting there thinking, by what right does he do this? He's blaspheming, for only God can forgive sins. And Jesus says, he senses what they've got going on in their heart. And he turns to them and he says, "I want you to know that I am God, that the Son of Man has power, not only to forgive sins, but to heal." And he tells this man to take up his bed and walk. Now imagine the scene. He's been a paralytic all of his life. His muscles have atrophied, so Jesus brings strength to his whole body. Those folks who were judging couldn't have friends like this man. And the scripture tells us that anyone who loves God must love his people. The scriptures tell us that if a person does not love one whom God loves, then he can't know the love of God in his life. These kind of people didn't cease at the end of the first century. There are people around us, and even ourselves, sometimes we find ourselves judging people who are in a position of need or a position of deformity or a position of just being an outcast from society. And we can't just reach out and love them. But you know, Jesus is concerned not just for this man, but he's concerned for these people who are judging. And I thought about this story as I thought about Kevin and his friends. It's a modern-day story of this story that's in Mark's gospel. And the question that I came away from this with was, who's the Kevin that God will bring into my life? Who's the Kevin that God will bring into your life to reach out and to deal with them in their as-is friendship? It's a blessing to see the way God moves in our lives, bringing people by his great providence and love, and says to us in our hearts, in our souls, reach out and minister to this person with the grace and the love wherein you have been loved and forgiven. Father, we thank you for this message. We thank you for its message to our hearts. We thank you for the example, not only of the scripture, but of Kevin and his friends. And we pray that you'll bless that ministry. Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes to opportunities to extend friendship in the name of Christ to those that providentially you'll bring into our lives even this week. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn of commitment this morning is a hymn that we sing very often as a prayer for one another, and it's hymn number 840 instead of 940 in your bulletin. Hymn number 840, God be with you as we pray for one another. The blessings of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you this day, till Jesus comes again and even forevermore. Amen.